Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to Alaska Gold Trails. I'm your host, Jim Madonna. This is your radio show on mining in Alaska, past, present, and future. More specifically, folks, gold mining in Alaska's misty past, controversial present, and mysterious future. Most of all today, folks, if you would like to give us a call or have a question on gold mining in Alaska, you can make that call to 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Maybe you'd like to ask a question regarding some of the gold mining activities that's occurred in Alaska over the years, or perhaps you just want to chat for a few minutes or want to share one of your favorite frontier experiences. The number here, once again, is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Let's talk gold mining through the years along Alaska Gold Trails. First thing we want to do this afternoon, folks, of course, is have our weekly contest. And once again, we're going to give away a 1 ounce silver ingot, but we'll give away a couple of crystalline geodes from Alaskan prospectors. And of course, the silver ingot is supplied by Oxford Assaying and Refining. And we're going to take the third correct call this afternoon that can give us the answer to our question. And the question is, which one of my sponsors is located at this phone number, 452-8211? That's 452-8211. And the phone number here, of course, when you get that answer, is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. The sponsor's number, once again, is 452-8211. I want to know who they are, where they are, and what they do. Hi, you're on the air. Hello? Hi, you're on the air. Can you hear me? Well, we're having a little trouble here, I guess. Hello?
Hello?
Oh, I got somebody on the line here.
Oh, no. Can't you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
I can hardly hear you.
Well.
But if I'm the third one, I'm willing to talk.
No, you're the first one, so are you willing to talk? All you're going to win is a crystalline geode from Alaskan prospectors.
I thought I'd be the third one. Am I the first one?
Yeah, you're the first one.
Oh, darn it. I thought you said that you had two other calls.
Well, they keep fading away on me.
Okay.
They keep wanting to be the third one like you.
I want to be the third one, but I know who 452-8211 is.
You do?
Yeah.
Who are they?
That's Tip Top Chevrolet.
Tip Top Chevrolet.
Yeah, and they're located down on Southern Cushman, 1916 Cushman.
Where do you get all this information?
I visit all the sponsors.
You visit all the
sponsors? I go every place in town.
Do you?
And I know what they do, too.
You know, you do? What does Tip Top Chevrolet do?
Well, I would guess they, I'm guessing now.
They told me they sell cars.
they've got to sell used cars and new cars. They've got to have a
What kind
a
of new cars?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
They've got to have a shop where they work on cars. And they probably do very good work. And they probably charge very, very reasonable prices. And they have top guys working there who know exactly what's wrong with your car when you take it in.
Do you work for them?
No, I want a crystalline geode.
Well, you've just got yourself a crystalline geode. Can you give me your first name?
My name is Rochelle.
Rochelle? Okay, tell you what. How do you spell your name, Rochelle?
R-A-C-H-E-L-L-E.
Oh, okay, Rochelle. All you have to do is drop over to Alaskan Prospectors, and they'll have a variety of crystalline geodes over there, and you can select the one that you like.
Thank you.
Will
thank
that be
you
okay?
Very much.
Well, thanks for the call. Hi, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, you're the second caller.
Oh, dang.
Dang.
After the pitch the lady just gave, I don't know how you'd need any more callers.
Is that right? Do you know any of the people over at Tip Top Chevrolet?
I know Robbie and Bob and Randy and Ron and almost everybody. I've done business with them for
years. Well, who are all these people? You know, do you know Jim Brown? He's a sales manager.
No, I don't.
You don't?
No, I've always done business as a commercial account through Mr. Ginther himself.
So uh-huh.
I don't know the sales manager. I know Hip and Still and Roy Saya that are salesmen over there pretty well.
Right.
But I've always been very fairly treated, and they're good people to do business with.
You know, I was, I got to tell you a little story. My family and I were sitting around the television set one night, and Robbie came on television, and he said, he gave his commercial, and one of the family members made the comment and says, you know, that's the kind of guy that you like to sit down to dinner with, kind of like one of the family, you know? And what do you think? Do you think that's a fair statement?
I would say so. We were at Fort Greeley together one time, and a couple of officers came up, and they were a little hesitant. They looked at Robbie, and then they kind of looked at each other. They looked at Robbie, and they said, are you a television celebrity?
Yeah, he does a good job there.
Right.
He really does. Say, what's your first name?
Ed.
Ed, I don't think I'll have any trouble spelling that, Ed. You stop over to Alaska Prospectors and pick up a Crystal Line Geo. They'll have a variety of them over there to select from. And believe me, you'll be well pleased with these Crystal Line Geos. They're probably not they don't have the flavor that perhaps a silver ingot has, but they certainly are just as beautiful.
You know, Tip Top sells Geos also.
Oh, do they?
You want to give one of those away?
No. Wrong kind. Wrong kind, my friend.
Okay,
let me get some of these other people.
Thank you.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
You're three.
Yes, you sound like you're real far away.
I do.
Yes, like talking through a tin can.
Is that right? Well, you know, my gauges here say that I'm right up at the proper level.
Okay. Well, you're wanting to know who's at 452-8211, and that's Tip Top, and they've got two other phone numbers too, but they also have, in addition to new cars, of course, Chevys, they've got body shop and used cars, and they're at 1916 South Cushman.
Answer this question. Do I sound better now?
You're improving considerably.
I'm improving?
Yeah.
Well, that's time. I improve with time.
Get a little clearer.
Yeah, okay. Maybe it's a little clearer now. Okay. Well, let's see. I want to ask you a couple of questions. The lady that called kind of ran through the whole set of services that Tip Top Chevrolet offers. You're familiar that they, of course, it's called Tip Top Chevrolet Buick. They're located at 1916 Cushman, and you know the phone number. What was that phone number again?
452-8211.
Right. You know the manager, the general manager is Robbie Ginther.
Robbie Ginther, and he's on the television.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a television star.
Yeah, and there's Roy Sy and Rex. Rex works in the parts part.
He's in the parts department.
Mm-hmm.
And the service department manager is Randy Meadows.
I didn't know that.
Okay. And let's see. What else do we have here? The body shop manager is Randy Mayhew. And that just about winds it up. Then I think you've given just about everything we need to know. So what you have to do, it's a little bit extra work for you. You have to come up here to the studio and pick up a certificate, which will then, that you can then take over to Oxford Assaying and Refining, located at 208 Wendell Street.
I got that one right this time.
Did I get the number right?
Yes, right.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I'm never going to live that down. That happened over, a month and a half ago, that 802 instead of 208. Boy, there's people running up and down that street. They don't know where they're at. Yeah, well, Steve Agbaba set me straight on that one. Well, let me put your name down here, my friend.
John.
John.
J-O-H-N.
Yes. Thanks,
R.
John. Thanks, John. John R?
Yep.
Okay. That's all you want?
Yep.
Okay, John, this will be waiting here at KFAR studio for you. You pick it up, take it over to Oxford Assaying Refining, present it to them, and the good folks over there will hand you a 1 troy ounce silver ingot. How's that?
Oh, thank you very much.
And I want to thank everybody out there for joining us here on the contest. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye, John. Hi, are you still there? Hello? Oh, they went away. Well, let's see here. Today's guest, oh my goodness, Hector Terrio. Hector and I have known each other for years, and we have It's been a hard time getting Hector on the radio with me. Hector, welcome to Alaska Gold Trails. I'm doing real well. How are you?
Very good today.
Very good today. That's better than yesterday, is that it?
Yes.
Tell us, Hector, give us a little of your background. Where were you born and what year and all those kinds of things?
I was born 1920 back in Alberta, Pitcher Creek, Alberta, Canada. And my folks were American citizens, so I didn't have to take out any papers when I came across the line. I crossed the line when I was 22 years old and went to California.
Oh, is that right?
And I worked in the aircraft factories there for about 5 years, took up welding there. I was certified aircraft welder for about 4 years. After the war in 1947, I came to Alaska.
Now, you were a welder there during the war period?
Well, I started out on the assembly line for North American Aviation, and then I was working 10 hours at night and going to school in the daytime, taking up welding.
Did you have any extra time?
Not much.
And then when did you finish that welding then in 47?
No, I finished in 43. I took up the class there and I finished my welding class and then I went to welding on aircraft parts up until 1947.
Oh, I see. And then how long did you, where was that at?
Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles. And you continued working there? How long did you work in that job?
I stayed there till 1947, and then I came to Alaska from there.
Okay, I'm getting it. I'm getting it now.
Okay.
All right. In 47, when you came to Alaska, what kind of magnetism did Alaska have for you? Was it because it was a frontier or what?
Well, I don't really know. I just I didn't want to go back to the plant where I was working because there didn't seem to be much future there. And I came up to visit my folks in Montana. They lived in Missoula, Montana at the time when I got laid off there in the plant. And their neighbor had been to Alaska. He said, well, if you're a welder, he said, you should go to Alaska. You shouldn't have any problem. So while I was there visiting my folks, I got a call to go back to work at the plant in Los Angeles, but I thought, oh, I'm going north instead. So I'm still here.
And did you drive up? Is that it?
No, I flew up DC, DC-4 or DC-6. It took 8 hours to come from Seattle.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That was a long flight. I flew up on one of those back in 1948.
Yeah?
Yeah. They had, what airline was that? I don't even remember.
Pan American.
Pan Am, right. So you flew up here. What did you expect to find?
Well, I don't really know. I landed here in about mid-April. About this time of the year, a little bit before this. And there was a lot of snow, but the weather had turned nice. However, they had had a horrible winter. I think that all of part of 2nd Avenue had burned down, and the streets were level with ice from one sidewalk to the other when I landed here.
Oh, I see. From the what? From putting out the
from
fire?
From putting or fighting the fire, yes. Mm-hmm.
And so you had a... Did you expect to see what you saw in Fairbanks?
I think so. I was, of course, I was raised in Canada. I knew what cold weather was like and all that kind of stuff. But one of the things, of course, right away, the days start getting longer. And that was quite a surprise, you know.
Mm-hmm. You're getting, 14, 16-hour days about that time.
Yes, we were.
Yeah. And about like it is right now. Then... what did you do when you landed here? What kind of atmosphere was here? Was it more... Explain the frontier-type atmosphere.
Well, it was a frontier. Very much frontier. You could... I don't know. It seemed like everybody knew everybody, but you knew they didn't. You know, like myself, I just came in here. There wasn't a hotel room available to be had, so I... walking down the street, and I asked where I could find a hotel room, and they said, well, you should contact Eva McGowan.
Yeah.
So I went to the old Nordale Hotel, and there was Eva McGowan sitting there behind the desk, and she found me a bed under the church, on Noble. That church was on Noble, and the pastor had some beds under the church there, and he'd rent them out for $2 a night. Very nice beds, they were clean and everything, but that's what it was. So I was lucky to get a bed.
You know, when I think back, there were a couple of areas like that where you could just rent beds by the day or by the week or month, just stalls, and all they had in them was a bed and a bureau. And I used to run and hawk the Daily News Miner up and down these rows in these big long buildings, and the guys would hand the kind of over the stall, they would hand the dime for the newspaper as I came through. And you'd see, I'd say, Daily News Miner, and all these hands would go up and over the stall, you know, and there was the dime, and I'd hand them the paper. And there was quite a lot of that around Fairbanks at that time. I think that a lot of the miners in the mining camps at that time, in the wintertime, they took up residence in some of those places.
I imagine they did, yeah.
And a lot of the newcomers. What kind of activity was going on here at that time, Hector?
Well, what I was looking for, of course, there was a welding job, and being that I came from aircraft welding, I didn't know if I could handle what was coming up, but I had worked for a farmer there in Montana just for a couple of days on the farm. He said, my boy is driving a bus in Fairbanks, so he said maybe you could find him and he can steer you around. So I knew this fellow was a tall kid. I went up to him and I said, I went down to the bus station. I said, is your name Tommy? And he looked at me kind of funny, you know, he said, yes, it is. He said, who are you? He thought I was a sheriff or something. It's the way he acted, anyway. Anyway, it turned out that he was a real nice guy, and we got along very good. He said, if you're looking for a welding job, you should go out to Ladd Field. He said, that's where you might get a job out there. He said, get on the bus. He said, I'll take you right by there. So he took me out there, and I got into town on a Thursday. I went out there on a Friday, and they wanted me to go to work on Saturday. I thought, well, I was broke, but not that broke. Anyway, I had to come downtown and join the operating engineers, and there was no problem there. I had I had been welding long enough to join the operators. And then I went to work out there the following Monday, and I fell right in, and it worked out real good for me.
Yeah. How long did you work there, Hector?
Well, I worked there till that fall, and then we got laid off for a few months. I went back to my folks in Montana, and then the following year, I came up and I worked in Delta for a little while on the base there. And then Fort Greeley. Yeah. And then I came back to work for BJL, which is a contractor I was working for at Ladd Field.
Mm-hmm. What were you doing at Ladd Field, just in the fabricating?
Just about anything. We were repairing, at that time they brought in a whole bunch of old equipment from the Aleutian Islands, and we'd repair that kind of stuff, and they were starting to build a base at that time.
I see. And you were here. Do you recall, just a question, do you recall why they changed the name from Ladd to Wainwright?
Well, it went from an air base to an army base.
I see.
I think that's the primary, the reason for changing the name.
Uh-huh. Tell me about some of the activities that you participated in a social cast here in Fairbanks when you came. Where was the action?
Well, when I first came here, I kind of behaved myself and didn't.
Hard to believe. I mean, you were lucky we're not on television, my friend, because you'd be in a red face. Now that is one of the. That's a lie if I've ever heard one.
No, I behaved myself pretty much because I had plans of. I thought I'd stay here for a couple of years and make some few dollars and then go outside, but it didn't work out that way. I tried to save money to buy myself a new car and that kind of stuff, which in the fall I went back to Missoula and bought a new car. But I got to go on the ball games.
Well, you didn't bet on them, did you?
No.
Just got into the ball games.
Pardon?
You just got into the baseball games.
Well, I didn't play. I just went to the ball games.
Uh-huh. Were you married when you came up here?
No.
No. And so you got to going to the was it the Gold Panthers then?
I don't think so, no. It was before the Gold Panthers started.
I see. And so you got to going to the ball game. That was your only social outlet. Didn't you do any square dancing?
We were working 7 days a week, see?
I see.
And 10 hours a day, 10, uh-huh. 12 hours a day. Well, let me tell you about a couple little deals.
I thought I'd drag one out.
Okay. Right out there on Cushman, say, about where, let's see. About where the drop-in is right now, or along in there. That was all brush at that time.
Yeah.
And we used to go out there and snare rabbits. And we'd have, there's four of us. There was, let's see, one of them's guy's, the fellow's name was Fry. And one was Al Latondras and John Vitruva. Two of those fellows have passed away so far. And we'd go down to one of the guys' house. They had two of the fellows had houses in town. We'd cook these rabbits up and we'd have a feed. And I might as well tell you the rest of it. I was the bartender.
Did you pour them pretty stiff?
Well, it ended up a time or two that I was the only one awake.
Is that right? Yeah, you did pour them stiff, didn't you? You get these guys drunk and feed a rabbit. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
No, we had some good feeds. We really had some good feeds.
I guess you did. You know how to make the taste buds liven up a little bit, didn't you? What kind of beverages did you serve?
Oh, just...
Shot straight up.
Mixed drinks of whatever you wanted.
Of whatever we wanted.
Of whatever we had.
Is that right? Well, that's real good. Look, I want to get back, and first of all, I want to tell the folks out there that if you wonder what we're laughing about some of the antics that Hector Terrio pulled off when he was a young man and had just come to Fairbanks, Alaska. And if you'd like to call and talk to Hector, our number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. But I also want to tell you a little story about some of the fine sponsors who support this program, and one of them, of course, is found on the back end of the telephone directory, and that's B&L Pawn Shop, where you get dynamite deals. And especially for those folks out there that need a grub stake, they take consignment goods, and if they don't sell them, you don't pay a commission. They loan, they buy, they sell, they trade, and they deal. They've got cameras, stereos, gold, TV, video, jewelry, tools, guitars, guns, car stereos, and if you want to know where they're at, they're at 605 Gaffney, corner of Cushman and Gaffney. Their phone number is 452-3063. And you've heard me say it lots of times. You tell Killer, you heard about their ad here on Alaska Gold Trails from Jim Madonna, and she'll sweeten any deal. So let them know that you heard about their support for Alaska Gold Trails right here from me, and they'll work with you on any deal that you might have.
Now, you citizens of Boston, don't you think it's a scandal how the people have to pay and pay?
When Lowell Purcell made this statement on September 13, 1988, do you think he was telling the truth?
Yeah, I think there are other ways of generating revenue other than tax.
Are we going to allow our elected representatives to force an unwanted sales tax on us? To stop the sales tax, remember you must vote yes Tuesday, May 2nd. This announcement paid for by the Interior Taxpayers Association, Donna Gilbert, President, Post Office Box 1892.
Once again, folks, we're here with Hector Terrio, and we're discussing his entry into the country and what he went through and some of the activities he was involved in. And he's just told us about the big rabbit feeds that he used to carry on. Hector, tell us some more about some more stories that you might have regarding the early days here in Alaska.
Well, that's a long time ago, and I really have to scratch my head to come up with that kind of stuff. You know, you got to think about it because it's almost 40 years. And after got settled down a little bit and find my way around, we used to go down to old time dances down in Eagles Hall, and Johnny Carlson was calling square dances and that kind of stuff. That was our social life, pretty much.
You got involved with square dancing pretty heavily, didn't you? Didn't you like to call a few yourself in your time?
And I still do. I still do. I call every first and third Saturday down at the Alaska Land.
Is that right?
For polar promenaders.
Well, tell us a little bit about that. We're kind of jumping ahead of things here, maybe. We'll get back to this square dance calling in just a few minutes. Let's bring you up to this time. We're back there and back in the around the 50s right now, aren't we?
We're down around the 50s.
Yeah, you've been here a couple of years. You done some welding work out at Ladd Air Force Base, and then you went to Fort Greely. You roasted some rabbits, and what took place after that, other than
Of course, I worked for the contractors, and I worked for BJL, and I worked for, it was another outfit, Birch, Lytle, and Green. I worked out of the house in the Air Force Base for a long time. And then I went to work for MK, I worked for O.V. Sealed. O.V. Sealed had a concrete plant out at, he had a plant at both places, at both bases, and I worked at the one at Eielson for a couple of years. Then I got to working for MK, and I worked for MK for about 12 years in a row, right here in Fairbanks, and I'd get laid off in about October or thereabouts, and I'd go to work in February or March, first thing in the spring. And I guess I was, they had the thickest file of any man on, of anybody in Fairbanks on me. I was the one that worked for them the most and the longest for Marshall Knudsen at that time.
Strictly welding?
Repair work, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think my father worked for Morton Knudsen back in the late 40s and 50s, early 50s.
Yeah.
And welding.
They were a good outfit.
Yeah. They were involved in some of the bridge building around here as well, weren't they, on the road?
Oh, they did about anything. I think they, in 1951, they are the ones that built the first concrete section of the old hospital in downtown Fairbanks.
I see. And when did you meet Jeanette?
Oh, one of them trips that I took through Canada.
I see.
Of course, I had known her folks and my folks had been friends for many, many years. But one of those trips when I went through Canada, well, we got acquainted, and we'd done a lot of dancing and things like that. We had a lot of things in common.
She like rabbit?
I don't know, but I haven't been the bartender since either.
She liked square dancing though.
Oh yes.
Yeah. Did in. Where you came from and where you met Jeanette, they did a lot of square dancing, did they?
Oh, yes. I've been square dancing for, I hate to admit this, but I've been square dancing for, I can truthfully say, 57 years. I remember square dancing when I was 11. Mm-hmm. My dad was a caller at that time, where you stand up on a chair in a corner, you know, and had the fiddle and the banjo and just go to it. But my dad was a caller, and he quit calling before I started, a long time before I started calling.
When you met Jeanette, did you meet her at a square dance?
We were going to some dances, yeah.
Yeah,
at
the time. And that was in Canada?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And what year was that? I don't want to pry into your private life too far, but just tell me everything you know.
1951.
1951? Well, that's about right. Yeah, and how did you fly up here with Jeanette or did you get married in 1951 or did you?
We drove up.
See. Well, tell us about the drive up. Drove up the Alcan.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, tough road in those days.
It was tough because we ran into about 1,200 miles of rain. It just rained all the time for about 1,200 miles. And I was driving a Buick car, and I forget, one afternoon about 3 o'clock, I pulled into the service station, and that Buick had been wet for so long, splashing water all over into up in the engine, and it just stopped right there in the service station. But after a few minutes, I got going again, and we come on ahead.
And was there any other adventures other than that momentary setback?
I remember there was three fellows who were driving Ford pickups. And every now and then, those three guys, I wouldn't say they'd all end up in the ditch at the same time, but quite often they'd run up, run in the ditch, and somebody would pull them out, and we'd see them up the road again. They were always passing us, but we were plugging along a little slower they were. But they were, for at that time, I think it was driving those Ford pickups up here for, I'm not sure, but I think it was Lonnie Hall owned the Ford agency at that time.
Uh-huh. And I wonder who bought those Ford pickups.
I don't know.
Did you buy that? Did you buy those?
No, I sure didn't.
That was a hard way up. That was a hard way. In fact, I remember those cars coming up. They'd order those cars, and it'd be months before they'd get here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a long time.
I don't think those young fellows really hurt those pickups. They'd just slide in the ditch, you know, I don't think they dented them too much or anything like that,
no.
But they were getting stuck all the time.
Sure. That was because of the rain and the mud?
Yeah, and they're driving, of course.
Yeah. Anything else about the trip up? Well, what was the road like? Did it have a lot of bogs in it, or because of the rain? Or?
Oh, yes. A lot of times we could only go 25, 30 mile an hour, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, it rained for about 1,200 miles all the time. It just rained continuously for about 1,200 miles.
How about the Buick? Did it ever get stuck?
No, we never got the Buick stuck.
No bridges washed out?
Not that time, no.
Not that time. There must have been another time when a bridge was washed out.
Yeah, I think there was. We had to go around someplace there one time. I just forget where it was and when. I don't remember when it was or where it was, but I remember one time we had to go around something.
What did Jeanette think when you brought her up? What did she say when she saw Fairbanks and the condition it was in? Was she happy to see it?
She fit in very well, really. Coming away from home and moving away and all that kind of stuff. And the worst part of what she had to put up with is I had a little trailer house parked at Casperson's Trailer Court out at Eielson Air Force Base, just this side of the gate there.
Mm-hmm.
And she had to stay there all day, and we didn't even have any electricity or water or any of that kind of stuff. And I was gone 10, 12, 14 hours a day, you know.
Wonder if she didn't get cabin fever.
Yes, well, it was in the summertime, and she'd visit Mrs. Casperton. She was there.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't too pleasant there for a year or so for us when we first got here. But we were determined that we were going to save and get ahead a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And it finally paid off.
I want to get back and start talking about when you entered into Hector's Welding out there in just a few minutes, Hector, and some of the adventures you've had through the pipeline and so forth. But first, let's talk about some of our sponsors here. I want to talk about a lot of people have asked me, where do the miners sell their gold? Well, most of us Alaskans know that they sell it to the precious metals people. And, of course, that's Oxford Assaying and Refining, located at 208 Wendell Street. In addition to buying the miners' gold, of course, Oxford Assaying and Refining also has some fascinating precious metal gift and investment ideas. Before we launch into the investment ideas, I'd like to point out that since they buy the gold from the miners, they often have unique nuggets on hand for sale. And if you have someone special that you'd like to buy a gift for, perhaps a nugget might just be that gift for that someone special. In terms of investment ideas, Oxford Assaying has 1 ounce silver, gold, ingots, and coins available, including all the coins from around the world, as well as their own coins, which are manufactured with the Oxford stamp on them. They also offer us a unique service in that they have a hotline, 452-7858, which you can call and get the gold, silver, and platinum prices each day. Once again, that number, the quote line, is 452-7858. Just to set the address straight so that everybody knows, they're located at 208 Wendell Street. Their phone number is 456-3967, and I suppose that I will never live it down that I one time said that Oxford Assaying and Refining was located at 802 rather than 208 Wendell Street. But setting the record straight today, 208 Wendell Street. Their phone number, 456-3967. And by the way, folks, tell them I sent you, okay?
When you want to stay here, there's just one place to be. Beacon Ford, Lincoln, Mercury.
Fairbanks knows where the best deals are. We've got your brand new car.
That's why people everywhere still come here to Beacon Ford, Lincoln, Mercury. The best deal anywhere is right here at Beacon Ford, Lincoln, Mercury.
Once upon a time, there was a man with his own little business. Business wasn't too bad, but he knew it could be better. So he advertised in the FMUS GTE Yellow Pages, and soon his business grew. His house got bigger. He bought a hot new sports car. And another. Why, things were so good that one year, he just forgot to renew his ad.
Hey, look, I was busy.
Well, soon his business stopped growing. His big, beautiful house started to fall apart. And his customers could no longer find him.
Hey, what happened to the two sports cars?
You had to sell them, remember?
Oh.
Which only goes to show that after years of trusting the FMUS GTE Yellow Pages to help your business grow, you don't forget about a good friend.
Not to mention a couple of nice cars.
The official FMUS GTE Yellow Pages. For more than 50 years, we've been bringing customers and businesses together. After all, no other book in town is more accurate or complete.
Looking your absolute best is a must in today's competitive world. Using the right products to enhance your hair, nails, and skin is the first step. Leslie's Beauty Supply has a wide selection of grooming aids. Try a new look with human or synthetic hair for the latest styles in braiding and hair weaving. Stop by Leslie's Beauty Supply in Beaverbrook Mall, North Pole, or their Fairbanks store at 615 Gaffney. If you can't find your favorite hair care product, ask for a special order. Call Leslie's Beauty Supply at 451-8070 or 488-7080. Operators and public welcome.
We're here this afternoon on Alaska Gold Trails with Hector Terrio. Hi there, you're on the air.
I've known Hector for quite a while, and I just want to say that this is the most I've ever heard him talk in one time.
Is that right?
But I want to suggest something else, that sometime along the line, somebody ought to interview Jim Madonna.
That's the Phantom Man. I appreciate that.
Sounds like you might have a few. To talk to.
Well, I appreciate that. Can you hear him all right, Hector? If you could speak up. Do you have a question you might want to ask, Hector?
That's all I had to say.
Well, thank you very much for the call. Well, Hector, we were talking about sitting in that little trailer and all. Tell me a little bit more about when you came up to Fairbanks. How long was it before you began Hector's welding out there at North Pole?
Well, when we first got here, we stayed that little trailer the first year, and then the second year we decided to buy a bigger trailer and moved it on a lot there in 13 Mile Richardson Highway. And I was working for Morrison Knutson at that time. I hadn't gotten to Morrison Knutson yet. Anyway, I was working for the contractors, and the Gippo contractors were always asking me to do welding for them. Of course, I had to do it with the contractor's equipment at that time, and then sometimes the contractor didn't like that, so I bought myself an old welder got me a cutting torch, and I started doing some of that work at home. I didn't have any shop or anything like that. All I had to do was that. All I had was that old welder and that cutting torch, and I'd pick up pieces of iron if I could here and there for different things, or else most of the time they would furnish the iron. But I used to fish plate frames and stuff like that on weekends at home and that kind of stuff. And finally, I got myself an old. A piece of a building that came off the base an old wooden building, and I started in that. But even then, it wasn't Hector's Welding. It was just some place where you could get some work done if I was home. But and then went along like that for a year or so, and then I finally bought that property on the Old Rich. And I moved that old building over there, took it along with me. And I operated out of that for a while, and then I finally got a little steel Quonset hut from Clear after they built the facility down there at Clear. This building came up, and I hauled that steel building home in my pickup. I'd go down, tear down a load every day and haul it home, and go back next day and get another load, and finally I got everything except one load. The stuff was too long in my pickup, so I got a bigger truck making one load. That was quite a job right in the wintertime, you know. And I started, that's where Hector's Welding, you might say, started there.
Mm-hmm.
But after I got done working for Morrison Knutson, I went to work at Gilmore for a couple, about 2.5, 3 years, something like that. And while I was up there, they had several people stop by the house and said, well, why don't you open up your shop? The pipeline is wanting some work done. I thought, hey, this is too good a job to quit, you know. But then I was gone away from home 12 hours a day and didn't have much time to do any work when I got home. So come the next summer, I finally quit Gilmore and opened up Hector's Welding for good. That's when it started. I don't know. I don't remember what year that was.
No, was that at the present location, or was that the shop at your next to your home?
It was at the little shop next to my home.
I see. When did you move over to 13 Mile Ridge?
Well, in the meantime, 1969, we bought 60 acres there where our shop is located now from Mrs. Finnell. The lady had moved to San Francisco by then, and that's the third time that I had bought property from her. So we bought that property, and there was absolutely nothing on it, just trees. There was no rabbit trails and moose trails. But anyway, we started clearing some of the land over there, and let's see, the first building I got over there was another Quonset that I got from S.S. Mullins when they got done with a job at Eielson. There again, I went out there and tore it down in the wintertime and moved it. And then the next summer, we started putting it up. Didn't get much of it done that summer, but the following year, we put enough of the building up to move into it over there. Of course, at that time, by that time, I was working for the pipeline pretty strong.
Mm-hmm. And so what year was that that you finalized the 13 Mile Richardson shop?
Well, let's see. It must have been
74.
About. It came up so gradual, it's hard to say. What when was this?
Slow transition,
that?
Right?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
It just grew. It just grew very slowly at first.
Uh-huh.
And when the pipeline was got about halfway over is when Hector's Welding started to really come alive.
I want to talk about a couple of our sponsors. Then I want to get back and talk to you just briefly about how you've prepared sluice boxes for the placer mining industry here in Alaska, Hector. I'd like to comment on Gabe's Truck and Auto, and the owners, of course, are Gabe and Kathy. And whether it's an auto or a light truck, motorhome, or a big rig, for the best service in town, it's Gabe's Truck and Auto Repair. And I'd like to tell the folks out there that I've been dealing with Gabe's Truck and Auto for many years, long before I ever started Alaska Gold Trails. And it's also understood that this is not just my opinion that Gabe's Truck and Auto gives the finest service in town, but the Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce gave Gabe's Truck and Auto their prestigious Raven About Fairbanks Award for providing the best vehicle service in Fairbanks not too long ago. Gabe's has two large shops and 8 mechanics on hand to serve you. And you know, with that much attention, you'll get fast, courteous service and have your vehicle back in a hurry. In addition to the engine and general vehicle maintenance, Gates can also repair automatic transmissions, realign front ends, and repair mount and balance tires. New and rebuilt engines, they come with a 12-month or a 12,000-mile warranty. As you can see, Gabe's is a one-stop service center. And if you need an IM inspection, you know that Gabe's are the people that started the no pass, no pay policy. That's right. If you don't pass, you don't pay at Gabe's. And you don't want to forget about their record service. A lot of people write their phone number down. That's 456-6156. And put it in their glove compartment in case of an emergency so they can call Gabe's if such a need arises. They have three wreckers on hand to take care of you if the need arises. And you can turn your rag into a ride at Gabe's Truck and Auto, and they're located off Van Horn Road near Metro Field, specifically 2058, that's 2058 Donald Road, or give them a call at 456-6156 and tell them you heard about them from Jim on Alaska Gold Trails.
Each morning during Problem Corner, hear all the latest developments live from Valdez, Monday through Saturday with Pat Lynn and Kerry Anderson. They'll bring you up to date on the latest inside details on the oil spill, what's being done and how. The Valdez Report, every morning during Problem Corner in the 10 o'clock hour. It's brought to you live in the public interest by Rothmeyer Optical in West Valley Plaza and by Jean's Chrysler Plymouth Dodge at 1804 South Cushman. Something fresh, new, and exciting is happening in Fairbanks. A new store is coming to town with products for men and women, boys and girls of all ages. Listen to this station on Monday morning for the exciting details. Find out how you can get free gifts one day only. The hottest new products from the lower 48. Be sure to listen to this station on Monday morning.
It's spring cleanup time at Universal Car Wash Audio and Accessories. The folks at Universal Car Wash say thank you, Fairbanks, for making their new business a splashing success. Bring in your car or truck now and find out how you'll get every sixth car wash free. Pick up a coupon which entitles you to $5 off your next car wash. Put pride in your ride with a spring cleanup at Universal Car Wash Audio and Accessories, 707 Old Steese Highway in the Solar Video Building across from Jeffries. Call 456-2720 for your appointment.
We're here with Hector Terrio. We're running a little bit short on time, folks. Hector, there's one thing I want to know. How did you get involved in preparing sluice boxes and mining equipment for the placer mining industry of Alaska?
Well, I had been working for Morrison Knutson around their crusher for many, many years. I was a repairman out there, and I knew how to handle gravel pretty well. And then when the miners come along, they wanted sluice boxes. That's where we started. The one that, of course, was quite popular was what they known as Hector's Welding. I didn't name that. The miners did themselves. They mined it, Hector's Box. And the fellow by the name of Bill Carlo is the one that helped me design that. He's a native here, a very nice fellow. And he's the one that helped me design it, and we went on from there. Now, we do anything the miner wants us to do. We build trommels or feeders or conveyors or put the whole plant together. Some places we've done the whole plant all in one piece, not one piece, but I mean in different parts. And they seem like they're very satisfied.
If people want to know more information about Hector's Sluice Boxes, they can give them a call at 488-6432. And Hector, I want to thank you for joining me here on Alaska Gold Trails today. And thank you. I want to also thank the folks out there in listening land for joining us today. Thank you, Hector.
Thank you, Jim.
You're listening to KFAR 660 on your radio dial in Fairbanks, Alaska. The time and 3 seconds will be 2 p.m.
From ABC News, I'm John Grimes. What's it feel like to win a chunk of that big $115 million Pennsylvania lottery? Ask John Cato. He's one of 14 workers at a brick factory in Windham, Ohio, who came to Harrisburg today to claim their winnings. You might say the win hit them like a ton of bricks. Cato was asked by a reporter.
Tell me what it was like when you saw the drawing.
We didn't watch it.
How'd you find out about it?
About an hour and a half afterwards.
Well, how'd you find out?
Phone calls. Then we all gathered about 11 o'clock and looked at the ticket.
And then what?
We still didn't believe it.
Did you party a little?
Very little. Very little. We want to get here. That's what we wanted to do.
So far, the 14 factory workers from Ohio are the only ones to come forward. Pennsylvania lottery officials say there were 14 winning tickets in all, each one worth about $8,255,000 or $317,520,000 a year for 26 years. More after this.
We're spending our honeymoon in a store.
We gotta find something for your hay fever, sweetheart. Here, this stops sneezing.
But that'll make me sleepy.
We don't want you sleepy. What about this?
That won't stop my sneezing.
It's so confusing.
End the confusion. As a nurse, I know that now your doctor can give you fast relief from all your hay fever symptoms without the drowsiness you may have had before. See your doctor.
Merrill Dow Pharmaceuticals.
This is James Whitmore. When it comes to lawns, some folks say too much work, too much time, too much money. Well, if that's you, I've got the answer that'll make folks like us look like experts. Miracle-Gro Lawn Food and the Miracle-Gro No Clog Feeder. You just pour the lawn food into the feeder jar and spray on. Nothing could be easier. You'll feed your whole lawn in minutes. You'll see lush green growth in days. Miracle-Gro Lawn Food and the Miracle-Gro No Clog Feeder. Beautiful lawns for folks like us.
The textbook countdown continues at the Kennedy Space Center for tomorrow's launch of the shuttle Atlantis, the five-man crew to send the Magellan spacecraft on its way to Venus. A brutal attack on a woman jogger in New York Central Park last week has hit a nerve in Washington. Eight teenaged suspects are facing trial as adults in New York for the attack, which has left the victim in a coma and near death. Republicans on Capitol Hill now say they will press for minors to be tried as adults when they commit such serious crimes. The attack also a topic at the White House, Lark McCarthy reports.